Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, whoever you are, or whoever you may be, depending on your time zone. Worldwide. This is Coast to Coast with BZ and Art Bell. Today is open line, and we'll have it all for you. Boy, did anybody get a reaction to Donald Trump being acquitted of the crimes that were committed, I guess? The left side thought that they had a win. They had it. Okay. Donald Trump was going to be removed from office. And apparently he wasn't. Also, don't forget, also in a couple of weeks, the NBA All-Star Game, they will honor the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant, daughter's game, in Chicago next week. And if you're an NBA fan, get your All-Star Well, I don't see any reason why we can't get started with Art Bell's Open Lines. Come on, right up! Only on Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Coast with BZ and Art Bell. We have open lines, and Art Bell will take it away just a minute. Relax, take it easy, gather all your stuff together. You will be going on a ride. So coming up, Art Bell, next.
We're on the air.
West of the Rockies. Hi, Art.
Hello.
I had a question concerning logging onto your computer.
Okay.
I always get knocked off in about 12 minutes. I was wondering if you could tell me how I can go somewhere on that thing.
Well, what speed modem do you have?
Oh, 2400.
Yeah, we'll see. That's your first problem. Now, they allow everybody in there for something like 15 minutes free once a day. If you want more time, you join. It's $10 or something, big deal, for a year. That gets you a lot more time. In the meantime, what you could do is to get a real modem. Now, I don't mean to insult your 2400, but that technology went by many years ago.
Well, that sounds like a good answer to my question, because the first, very, very first time I got on, it said I could stay on 30 minutes, and I downloaded your biography.
Yes.
And I was going to check out some of your pictures, your GIF files, you know?
Right.
And next time, like last night, I was on there and I couldn't get out of that first menu book there. So I didn't know how to do that. And then when I left the email, I tried calling tonight and it said didn't have any time. It wouldn't even let me check the mail or nothing. So.
Why not?
I don't know. It said it disconnected me like within a minute, so. Dr. Larkin.
Huh. Well, something must have happened. So I would say try again.
I'll do that.
All right, my friend. Thank you. There are many uncertain things in the world of bulletin boards and modems. And there are many modems out there, and there are not, you know, there is sort of a standard, but they're all a little bit different, and it makes it very difficult. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Kevin in Houston again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got to apologize for the other night I actually called twice. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I didn't.
I just wanted to confess that. I promise not to do it again.
Well, that's good. You know, eventually, I'm pretty good with voices, so I would have caught you eventually.
Yeah, well, I have a goofy little laugh that sometimes squeezes out of me that you might have recognized. But
confession is good for the soul.
Yeah, I had a question about, you said you were talking about mice, that you usually like to try to catch them and let them go. I have a mouse.
Well, I don't. Look, if there's a mouse in the house, and that's happened twice, my big 17-pound cat chases the mouse around and licks it.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. And then makes it run and chases it again and licks it some more. Doesn't want to eat it or kill it, just licks it and plays with it.
Probably
and so,
terrifies it a
so
bit.
So I let him catch the mouse.
Yeah.
And then I get it in a little jar.
Hi, Art. Cedar Spring, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to talk about the base closing situation that Bill Clinton finds himself in.
Ah, what a dilemma.
Okay, well, here's what I think of it, and then I'll tell you what I think he should do. I think that if he goes ahead and manipulates it and gets the civilian jobs there in California and actually changes the decision, it will not hurt him in other states because the people who are against him are already going to vote against him because, you know, the gays in the military, he's a communist, he's a draft dodger, the GATT and NASA. They got many reasons to vote against him already. So he's not going to pick up any that way. He might have an effect in California. And the competing base that was closed between McClellan was the one in San Antonio, this Kelly Air Force Base.
Right.
And he's already lost Texas to the Republican, probably Pat Buchanan. So he gains enough. He gains everything by going ahead and doing his little deal and trying to do what he's going to do to get the job in California. But here's the suggestion I have for Bill Clinton.
Real quick.
Okay. Get these other bases, the empty ones, and put barbed wire on them. Get some helicopters, paint them black, and then round up the nuts that call into some of these talk radio shows and make their self-fulfilling promises.
Well, yeah, but, sir, remember, you might be the first to hear the whirling blades. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Thank you.
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 4th, 1995.
Gee, from one of my board ops, Vincent, Mr. Bell, good morning, sir. I have been your board operator at WDUN AM 55 in Gainesville, Georgia, ever since we became an affiliate. I'd like to know who do I have to get in touch with to become part of your team. Well, actually, I don't have a team. Well, I have my wife. That's it. Now, there is, of course, the network, and you are welcome to contact the network. Alan Corbett loves talking to aspiring talk show hosts. Alan Corbett is the boss guy there. The base closure committee, Art, this is from Cliff in Santa Barbara, determined that the closing of McClellan Air Force Base would save between $11 and $21 million annually. This savings to the federal government is minuscule compared to the loss that would be suffered by the state of California. You are using the issue to grind your axe with the president. No, I'm not. No, that's not true. I'm actually enjoying it. Now, that's not axe grinding. Enjoyment is not axe grinding. I see the president with an insurmountable no-win situation, and I am genuinely enjoying it. I guess that might be axe grinding. Anyway, you're using this, blah, blah, blah. California is still suffering from the lingering residue of the failed Republican economic strategy of the 80s and the removal of defense funds in the 90s. If you want to address a real issue, why not talk about the $250 billion in funds that the Pentagon did not ask for that was pushed through Congress by a Republican committee chairman whose home district is reaping over 90% of the money? Don't get the idea that I'm a liberal with an axe to grind. No. I'm an independent who's tired of both parties and their spokesmen stirring up emotions and preventing the honest debate of both parties' failed policies. You are quick to show the cynicism of the left, as it should be. But don't ignore the cynicism and false conservatism of the right. Just days after Dole lashed out at Times Warner, he sponsored a bill for them and the other media giants. This is the nastiest kind of cynicism. Love Dreamland, love the alien line. Be a bit more balanced in your criticisms. They were not so much criticisms, frankly. Yes, they were. I've got to be honest. You see, if the president closes the base, he loses California. Good likelihood. Even Feinstein yesterday said he can't win without California. So he loses. Now, on the other hand, if he interferes with the base closing order, he'll be seen to be playing a political game for personal gain. Now, it may be that America is so used to seeing our president do that that they won't even flinch. But I would think that most of America would say, my God, here a non-political committee decides to close a base, and you, Mr. President, save your own hide, keep it open. So they'd be upset with him for that. They would see our president as acting to protect his own hide versus that of the country. So, the way I figure it, he loses either way. And I'm going to enjoy watching what he does. So, I guess you could translate that enjoyment that I'm feeling, that obvious, warm, fuzzy political pleasure that it generates deep within my gut, axe grinding, in a sense, but it's just sort of enjoyment. West of the Rockies, you're on. Whoops, would have been on the air. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm glad you caught Ghost.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be happy in his new home, don't you?
Well, that remains to be seen. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, would you rather live below my house?
Nope.
No.
I would think he would be happy in your
Your
home. Okay. I got a couple of international type things. You know, you mentioned that China's giving missiles to Iran.
They're selling missiles to Pakistan and selling missile parts for the same missiles to Iran, yes.
missile parts for the same missiles to Iran.
That's
why would that be?
Well, instead of selling home missiles, I don't know. There's
okay, but and then we've got Russia, who is building the reactor, for Iran.
Yes.
And these two, I got something else too, though. These two arch enemies, Russia and China, where they say they eventually they will merge into one large army,
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's what they say, and I don't know if it's in prophecy. I think it's in prophecy. And, I don't know, it looks like Israel, will be the target of that if that ever happens. But then I find that there's something else. John Major was given the vote of confidence.
Yeah, he won. It was it was a gamble, but he comes out on the other side stronger.
I know. And I read where his kind of refusal to go along with this European currency kind of put him out of favor with the New World Order globalists, and they wanted to actually remove him.
Right.
And so it is hopeful that he did win the vote of confidence.
Well, it is.
It gives us hope anyway.
Well, maybe it gives Pat Buchanan some hope. Art, having seen Apollo 13 and listening to your comments about space exploration and where we've gone with it, I've done a lot of thinking. The country needs to rediscover the space program. The Jim Lovells, Neil Armstrong, and Buzz Aldrins of this country put their lives on the line for space exploration, and we have done absolutely nothing with it. They took the risk to give us knowledge, and we've spit on their contributions by not following through with the space program as it was invented. Gus Grissom and the crew of Gemini and the Challenger astronauts died for the idea of space exploration. And for what? So we can launch satellites for AT&T? I don't think so. Those who believe we need to solve our social problems on Earth before we continue out into space are not seeing the big picture. Though space exploration can, with it, we can solve our problems. Colonizing other planets will give us the breathing space we desperately need. It'll create jobs, prefabricated structures for houses will need to be made on assembly lines. There'll be a demand for engineers, as they will need to invent things needed for survival on these planets we inhabit. The types of jobs which would be created by space exploration could be endless. It wouldn't take that much for us to get going again. We don't need the competition from the Russians to spark us. As Jim Lovell said, going to the moon wasn't a miracle. We just decided to go. Eric. Right, Eric, I agree with you. And if we need something, a goal, to replace the Cold War, then I think space is perfect. What about a president who would stand up and say we're going to Mars and really mean it and begin to pour serious money into it? Well, a lot of people would complain. I would not be one of them. I would love to see that happen in my lifetime. The way the budget is progressing, I do not expect it. We'll be right back.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell. This is Ron, Pete from Portland.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Apollo 13, I saw that this weekend.
Everybody did, and I haven't. How was it?
It's a great movie.
That's what everyone said.
You know what?
What?
It has been doing great box office, but it's going to do better box office than the post-apocalyptic movies like Judge Dredd and this Waterworld that's coming up. And you know why?
Why?
Because America's mood has changed, and we no longer are so frustrated we yearn for an apocalypse. I really believe that.
It beat Pocahontas, and everybody thought that was going to do it.
Yeah. Hey, I use one of those live traps, those plastic ones where the mouse goes in and the door shuts.
Yeah.
And what you do is you take them over to the toilet and make sure the toilet's running, and it's the interesting world of Mouse Cousteau.
That's why, though?
You got to.
Why?
They got fleas. They got fleas and disease.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to touch the mouse.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have to touch the mouse.
Well, all right. I think that's awful. I wouldn't flush a mouse. I wouldn't do that. The only thing I'd flush is a dead goldfish. And I consider that burial at sea. But a live mouse, I wouldn't do that. Why do that? I mean, if you can trap them without getting disease, you know, get them in a bottle. I always let my cat catches them. And I just scoop them up in a bottle and I take them out into the field and set them free. I mean, why would anybody want to flush a mouse down a toilet? Even a mouse is a life, right? I'm telling you, I think this is important. Now, it's only my personal view, and I know it clashes with hunters and clashes with all kinds of people out there, but to me, a life is a life, and I wouldn't kill a mouse. I'd never kill a mouse. I would feel guilty as hell if I killed a mouse. In other words, without some cause. Now, a mouse bit me or something, I might squish him. But, you know, your average running around, hey, I'm just a mouse trying to get a scrap here or there kind of mouse, I wouldn't kill him. I don't, you know, it's the senseless, there's no reason. You take him out into the field and there you go, mouse, goodbye. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
That's me.
Yeah, this is John from Camarillo.
Hello, John.
Wanted to let you know about carrying 75 meters on the air.
Yeah?
That would be cross-banding.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, it's cross-banding, but...
No, cross-banding refers to the amateur bands.
Yes, well, I'm a former ham.
Well, then you've forgotten a lot. Because that refers to the amateur bands, sir, not commercial broadcast.
Well, unfortunately... I know JPL does transmit shuttle audio down.
Well, I believe that permission to do that can be obtained. So, you know, if I could do a show that way, you've got to admit it would be very interesting.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah, I mean, I would just take the audio from the transceiver over here and wire it right into my board so you guys could really hear it.
Yeah. Oh, I was wondering, if I want to go back and get my license, do I have to retake the test or...
How long has it been?
Oh, about 5 years.
I think you're right at the limit. You may have passed it. You may have to go take the test again.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Da da did da 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 did did da 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 da. I just said to you in Morse code, good luck.
Okay, and congratulations on your cat.
All right, see you later. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
How are you doing, Art?
Okay.
I'm from Northern California.
Yes.
And the other day you asked if there was still a secret space program.
Well, we were sort of toying with the idea.
Oh, well, I talked to an astronaut from the secret space program.
You did?
Yeah. He gave me this real short poem. It's about like 25 seconds. You want me to read it?
Absolutely not. I don't let poems go in there. No. And besides... How do you know he was a secret astronaut?
Well, he had a really good secret name, Henry Cabot Space Cabin III.
Mm. You've been having a very wild fourth, haven't you?
Yeah, I had a couple of beers.
All right, sir, I can tell. I have here what I call my talkaholic meter. And it just took a big jump. People don't believe that. You see, there are more ways to measure one's alcoholic content than, by going into something. It can even be done over the phone. It's my own personal invention. It's called the talkaholic meter. And so that's right. You've got it. I can tell. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, turn down the radio.
Turn down that radio. Just wait while he goes about a half mile.
I'm back.
Where are you calling from?
From Washington State, Ordi.
All right.
How's things going?
Very well. Every time somebody calls from Washington, it reminds me, in 11 minutes, we move from KVI to KOMO in Seattle.
That's right. You know, I was sort of...
thinking about this Japanese trade embargo, and it sort of reminds me of 1945 when, before they started bombing Pearl Harbor, they had somebody in the White House debating peace with those guys. Remember that?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? Might have it again, huh?
You mean a real war?
Well, not against Japan, but it seems like every time we start debating with Japan about something, they always, do an end run around this.
I think Pearl Harbor is relatively safe. You've got to understand, the Japanese now have so much investment in Hawaii that it'd be a poor idea to bomb their own. I mean, you get...
Well,
I
wouldn't say bombing. I was a trade war again, that kind of scenario.
Oh, I see.
Not really.
Well, I thought the parallel you were drawing was the trade war and the peace talks versus the current possible trade war and turning into a hot war.
No, I don't think we want that. I think we turn it back into a trade war is what I'm thinking.
I see.
Because the way they act. Congratulations on your cat. I've really been paying attention to that. It's been really a fun story to listen to.
Well, you may get to hear more after 1 o'clock. Thank you. I may bring him in here. I mean, he's only 10 feet away. And I want to see how he's doing anyway, so I may bring him in here. And if recent history is any teacher, you'll certainly be able to hear him. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Dennis from Silverdale, Washington.
Hi, Dennis.
You were talking about doing a show about the ham operator.
Yes.
And I would like to see you do something on the Ground Wave Emergency Network.
What's that?
That's the... government low frequency government system. It transmits at very low frequency, 150 to 175 kilohertz.
Well, yeah, that's a long wave. Why would I want to do that? I mean, that wouldn't be very interesting for the listeners.
Well, I think it would be interesting because this is the emergency network that the government would use in case of...
but they'd never let me put that on the air. Ham radio, see, I can put that on the air, and I can actually, if I could get permission, and I could let the audience hear the person I'm talking to wherever they are. That'd be really interesting. There'd be a lot of audience participation.
Well, don't you think it would be interesting to for people to understand about this emergency network in case...
Well, what should they know about it?
Well, and if other kinds of communication is out...
Yeah.
Then this is the system that the government would use to communicate.
Well, that's great. So you just said it all, and we don't need to do a show on it. You just told us.
Well, the problem is that there's not much information about how we can access the system.
So, okay, how do we do it?
Well, I'm not sure. I've talked to the people at Crane, and they said that they have no receivers that pick up that frequency.
Yes, they do. They've got receivers that go down to 100 hertz.
Well, the man that I talked to said that they didn't have anything.
Yeah, well.
That would do that.
They've even got one that goes down lower and can listen to the frequencies generated by the Earth itself. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Mother Earth makes sounds.
Well, yeah, I knew they made sounds, but I didn't know that they had anything.
Well, they don't officially sell it. I probably shouldn't have even mentioned it, but they've got it. As a matter of fact, I've got one here. The Earth makes very interesting sounds, almost embarrassing sounds, would be how I'd phrase it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's very interesting. And I will call C. Crane back and see if I can talk to someone who knows more.
Well, you talk to Bob Crane. Try and get Bob Crane himself if you want to talk about that. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much for the call. how low can you go? We'll be back, and we'll find out here shortly.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time.
And for all of you who are just joining us, good morning. Good to be with you. I'm Art Bell. And there are a lot of stations in the last couple of hours that came online. By now, everybody who's going to be there pretty much is there. So I feel obligated to tell this story one more time. I got my cat, folks. As you know, yesterday morning, the trap had not worked, and we had chicken, actually barbecued chicken in there. I mean, we're talking good chicken here, chicken I would like to have, but it didn't work. He didn't come out, and didn't come out, and didn't come out, and didn't come out, and even after the show, I would keep checking about every half hour. It was useless. Finally, at 11 o'clock in the morning, he wasn't even talking to us, right? At 11 o'clock in the morning, we brought the trap inside, and what we did is we smeared a little Port Chatham tuna juice at the beginning of the trap, and then put a full can of tuna at the rear of the trap. That was at about 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, I slept until about 7, I think, this evening. Got up shortly before 7, actually, about 7:15. And about 5 minutes before I got up, quap, the door shuts, and we've got Ghost. Now, quite a victory, I would say. I'm exceptionally pleased about this. Ghost is now still in the trap. What we did is we brought, you know, the trap has a handle. It's a good big trap. And so we brought the trap in and laid down a whole bunch of newspaper on the bathroom floor, which is carpeted here. And put the trap on top of that, and then put a food and water bowl in the trap. And Ghost will remain in the trap until morning, about 7 or 8 o'clock. As soon as I can get hold of a veterinarian, Ghost will be going to the vet, where Ghost will get examined, cleaned, given shots, given tests. All the things that you've got to get done for a cat will get done. And then Ghost will be free of the trap and in the house, but not until then. Now, when I go into a commercial break, I will try something. I will go and get Ghost and bring him in here for a moment and see if we can get him to talk to you. Talking is not exactly what I would describe what he does. He hasn't been hissing. He hissed once at me. Mostly it's just meowing. And he's a beautiful cat. He's only about 2 months old. I knew that, about 2 months old, and he's kind of orange and white, and has beautiful blue eyes. This is a pretty kitten. So anyway, there it is, the story of Ghost. We've got him, and, or her, actually, I don't know yet, and I don't have the body parts to try and find out right now, so we're talking about a low frequency receiver in the last hour. Somebody said, guess what, Art? It's in the catalog. So if you've got a Seagrain catalog, you can look for the Earth listening receiver in there, I guess, and they do have it. Now, let me catch you up on a little bit of the news that we're talking about. The big story is what the president is to do. Oh, what is the president to do? It's such a quandary for him. I feel emotional pain. Yes, I feel his pain when I think about the problem that he's got with McClellan Air Force Base. You see, the base closing commission said close it. Presidents do not interfere with what this commission does. They never have until now. On the one hand, if the president closes the base, even with some mixed up promises to somehow try to keep the jobs in California, the California voters are going to be really ticked off at him. And that's not good, because in order to be reelected, this president must carry California. Even Senator Dianne Feinstein said it. Absolutely, she said, absolutely, he cannot win the presidency without California. So, the president is in a pickle. If he closes the base, he could lose California and the presidency. One-way ticket back to Little Rock. If he interferes and orders the base to stay open, he could. He will be seen by the rest of the country as a man doing something purely political against the nation's best nature to save his own pathetic political hide. Now, I do have some sympathy with the position that he's in. I mean, he is a politician, and I'll try to be fair here. Governor Wilson also, I understand, favors keeping the base open. I mean, this is a political world, and if you're a Californian, you've got a favorite, I guess. But the prez, you know, the buck stops there, and I figure he's going to lose either way. Keeps it open. Everybody else is angry. Sees him as a political dog. If he closes the base, everybody in California is angry. Sees him as a mean-spirited Democrat and doesn't vote for him, and he gets booted out of office. So, oh, what is he to do? I feel his pain, and I wonder if you do too. And the question is, what do you think he will do? And it's an awfully good question. The Unabomber has sent a Berkeley University professor a letter that he received from, he's responded to a letter he got from the Unabomber. Tom Tyler said in an open letter to the Unabomber, published in the San Francisco Chronicle, that he shares the Unabomber's concerns about modern American life, but that violence makes people resist change. And I wonder how many of you share the Unabomber's concern about modern, scientific, technological American life. The internet, television, movies, pollution, we've got it. Deforestation, we've got it. How many of you would express deep concern and would actually say that you share the Unabomber's feelings on this, if not his action? The shuttle and Mir undocked at 7:09 a.m. yesterday morning. They will return tomorrow, I understand, with two Russian cosmonauts and our guy who's been up there, and I'm sure will be glad to be home. It was indeed a cosmic ballet. Remember 2001? They could have put music to it, and finally one of the networks did yesterday, and it was beautiful. How many of you think by the year 2300 we will be out populating other planets elsewhere? Or will we just sort of stick around, worry about pollution and ozone and stuff? Or do you think eventually we'll get the Spirit, we'll get the space program going again, We will provide a goal and a reason for Americans to strive and work. It'll create jobs. Oh, I could go on and on. The case for the space program is a strong one. We ought to get going. Be a good thing for this president to grab and run with. So, all of that's up for talk. I've got a story on immigration. OJ, the trial gets going again tomorrow, and it's about to get very interesting. The final witness for the prosecution is Nicole Simpson's mom. And after that, it will be the defense turn. The big question, whether or not OJ will go on the stand, would you put him on the stand? I was talking about blue tip matches yesterday morning, and this fellow, Gunner, he calls himself, in Palm Desert, sends the following. Art, a blue tip match story. When I was eight years of age, I filled a large glass Coke bottle full of blue tip matches and strapped it to a roller skate in an attempt to make a homemade rocket sled. Our home had hardwood floors and a very long hallway, so I pointed it down the hallway and set it off. The result exceeded my wildest imagination. Fire shot out the end of the Coke bottle a good 10 feet, accompanied by copious, acrid smoke. Unfortunately, the vehicle lacked control and crashed soon after takeoff. After the crash, it sat there, madly spinning, shooting fire out the nozzle. The damn thing nearly burnt the house down. Wanted to share it with you. Gunner, Palm Desert. It's a man after my own heart. Hardwood floor, huh? Oh, boy. So, back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Madison, Wisconsin calling.
Well, how you doing?
Well, pretty good. Listen, I want to talk about this Unabomber thing in a kind of a larger context, because I've been trying to call you for days about the Supreme Court decision about the Endangered Species Act.
Yes, all right.
All right, now, what I believe about it is that you really can't control where these species live or where they fly over or whatever. And I think the ecosystem is connected from one end of the country to the next. And we've only been in this continent for 200 years, and look what we've done to it.
Well, did you hear the man who called yesterday and said he equated Mother Earth to a living organism that very shortly now is going to spit mankind out?
I sure did.
Yeah.
And I agree with that,
but I also think
that we've hastened the process tremendously. I mean, these things may well go in cycles, and we've greatly increased it. And even if that's true, is that what you want? I mean, you're talking a few minutes ago about exploring space. Do we
yes.
want to get knocked back to the Dark Ages, especially
no.
if we don't have to?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, now, in relation to the Unabomber, obviously, I mean, I've faxed you before about this a number of times. I think the guy is kind of insane because of his violent tendencies. But I think the revulsion that he has for modern techno society is pretty genuine, and I have a lot of neighbors. I'm living in Madison, but I have a farm 100 miles from here, and all my neighbors up there are Amish, and you can't believe what a pleasant lifestyle they have. I mean, they don't agree with any technology, and they have no crime and no violence and no divorce and no abortions. And I mean, you can look at their lifestyle from one end to the other and see nothing but a serene spiritual life. And I'm not saying we all need to be Amish, Art, but I'm saying
pause, take a deep breath. Look, I know, but maybe I'm defensive because I'm deeply involved in all of this kind of technology, and I mean deeply.
I think that's true.
And so I don't feature it as causing the social problems that we have. I really don't think it is.
I can make the case in 30 seconds for why I think it is involved with that.
All right.
It's my belief that the technology has made it possible for us to sidestep the most basic of human things. In other words, you live in your little well-insulated box. It's air-conditioned. You don't know there's a desert out there. Everybody's gotten soft because the technology has made it so possible to be soft, and the medical world has made it possible for us to survive possibly longer than we should. We're not even genetically, choosing the best people to survive anymore, because some people who are basically sickly all their lives are still reproducing, adding to the gene pool, etc. So I think technology, in a way, is enabling us to become such a weaker species that we are basically blind to the realities of life.
So then, Herr Doctor, what is your prescription?
Well, my prescription is that technology is extremely useful, but it needs to be, and I suspect the Unabomber agrees, appropriately channeled. And
you ruled the world, I have a feeling that old, sickly people, wouldn't be old and sickly very long.
Right. That's right.
That's what I thought. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. But your solution is pretty distasteful. I mean, yeah, sure. I had somebody like this yesterday who called. Basically, the old people ought to be put away. The sickly people ought to be put away. The genetic misfits ought to be eliminated from reproducing. We should consider those who are a drag on society. We're talking chamber here, right? Time to report to the chamber. Your time's up. We've decided you're not really useful anymore. You're lollygagging around all day. Time for the gas. Well, I don't know, folks. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Richard in Lafayette, Indiana.
Yes.
KFM.
Excellent.
I was just calling to see if you'd seen that or know anything about the piece on the Edmund Fitzgerald. I was channel surfing and caught headline news and saw a piece about them bringing up the bell, and apparently it's in pretty deep water, and they're trying to get Canada to make it a national memorial so that the commercial divers can't desecrate it.
What is your view?
Well, I think that that's a good idea, that there's no need to desecrate that resting place of 29 sailors, and what they're talking about doing is putting a replica of the bell back down with all the names.
I'm sure in their view it does. They're not intending to desecrate anything. And I'd have to think how I feel about it. I don't have a ready answer for you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was just calling to see if you had heard it, and also to say I really enjoy the show, and I'm waiting with bated breath for our station to pick up Dreamland.
Oh, they have not done so yet.
Not yet.
Well, give them a call and ask them nicely to do it.
I shall do so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. I don't know. It's like talking about the desecration of the flag. It depends on the intent of the person doing it, right? What do they intend? What do they mean by it? Or the burning of the American flag. I heard stats the other day that there have been, that they know of, like two or three at the most flag burnings in the last couple of years. People are not burning a lot of flags. And so I don't know about this constitutional amendment. I mean, it sounds good. And maybe if it was a big problem, it would go through. But it really isn't. I mean, two or three flags a year by some nutball case. I just don't know if that means we need an amendment. I don't know if the size of the problem justifies the remedy being suggested.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 4th, 1995.
Okay, here we go. This should be interesting. I'm going to lift the, here we go. Hello, buddy. Hi, kitty. Now, I don't know whether you can hear this guy or not. I have no idea whether it's coming over the air. Hi. That's my little guy. He's rubbing against the cage, kind of like, he's a good kitty. He's a good kitty. And he's been eating his food, I can see, and drinking his water. And I'm sure he'd like to be out of there. And tomorrow he will be. Kitty. He's a good kitty. He's a good kitty. Anyway, that, my friends, is Ghost. And he's got a little brown, and he's looking at me right now. He's got a little brown, and he's got a little orange in him, and a little bit of white, and he's got blue eyes. And he looks like he would rather be somewhere other than where he is. But it's got to be better than under the house, huh, Ghost? So, anyway, there you have it. He's a good kitty. See, no hissing, it's just kind of a meow. And I guess hopefully he's glad. No, he doesn't like this cage. He keeps pushing against the cage like, hey, I want to get out of here. But isn't that too bad? You know, he's not really wild. He's not, I think we caught him early. He's a good kitty. Good kitty. Well, anyway, Ghost goes back into the bathroom in a much safer and quieter environment, and I will take a break here at the bottom of the hour. But I was glad, you can still hear him. I was glad you were able to hear him. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a conclusion to a long, long saga. Welcome to the house, Ghost.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies.
Take a break as well, and we'll be right back.